Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Danny, Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm, as expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of whose program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener-supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
This is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal. I do have a special guest today joining me, Danny Siras, who's done a brilliant, brilliant work in law enforcement and so forth. And today, I was very, very happy to have him join me for a special show. I want to begin, by the way, with some new videos that have emerged here related to 9/11. Well, a couple of them show no planes. Another, which was accidentally left on private for 22 years, shows a lot of people watching the plane. I'll explain what's going on here. Here's the original video. You won't be able to see it, of course, when you look at the video version, but it's the towers, very clear. There's the explosion. No plane is visible. This is from a helicopter.
That apparently does look like it is in the other building at this point.
And you'll listen at the end of this. It's revealing. Because reporters say they're being told to get out of there. They're not being allowed to record it. Now, if this were real, you'd want everyone to be recording as much as you can to have as much evidence, but something is wrong.
Back off.
They're being told to back off.
They're telling us to back off.
Well, that's pretty bad. What the hell is going on there? So here, there's another video we have here. It also shows, there it is, from the side, no evident plane, all of a sudden, boom, boom. There it is, boom. Pretty damn amazing. Now, the third video is the one I regard as the most important. It was, as I say, it's in a Gateway Pundit. Newly emerged 9/11 video shows previously unseen angle of second plane hitting South Tower. Uploader claims accidentally left it private on YouTube for almost two decades, actually for over two decades. Here is the video. Now, he's there. It's a pretty clear view, especially of the side of the South Tower. And there are a lot of people here. And when the plane approaches, it's very, very clear. It's about to come into view. Well, he does kind of move his camera around. This looks to me completely authentic. All kinds of paper floating in the air from the explosions. This is from the North Tower, since the South hasn't been hit yet, but there appear to have been pre-planned explosives to simulate the explosion of the planes after they entered the buildings. Very clear videos, all three of these. Pulls back, looks at the North Tower. Stand by, we're about to see. Following the smoke, lots of smoke in the air. Lots of people there talking it up. Here comes. Now, let me explain why that video is so terribly important. It's because you got people there seeing what appears to be a real plane in real time. There's been a lot of debate over whether or not the images of the plane could have been added by CGI or by video compositing. But if they were done by CGI or by video compositing, there would be no witness reports in real time seeing the plane approach a building prior to the broadcast footage. And yet, here we have a perfect illustration. I, in fact, at one point with Andrew Johnson, who's part of Judy Wood's Praetorian Guard, went through over 500 witness reports accumulated by the New York Times. They were all over the place in terms of large plane, small plane, commercial plane, military plane. But the fact is, if there were any witnesses, any valid, any legitimate, any authentic witnesses to seeing the plane as it approached the building, we know it's a fraud. We know it's impossible. It's going at an impossible speed, makes an impossible entry. And we know it appears to be a holographic projection from a plane 1,200 feet to the side. You could even hear the plane. See, people claim, well, that must have been a real plane then because you could hear the sound. Well, the sound you were hearing was from the real plane, which was projecting the image from 1,200 feet to the side. So my suggestion here is that the fact we have this further video where you can hear the witnesses react is really clear, suggests to me that it had to have been a hologram. And my explanation for the videos where you see no planes is that the angle from which they were taken simply did not show it. But Danny, I'm so glad you're here. My guest today, Danny Siris, has joined us. Danny has a vast background in law enforcement. He's been my guest many times in the past. He's got a whole lot of stories he wants us to discuss today. So I basically thought that I would have Danny lay out the agenda for us to address today, including a lot about crime or purported crime about which he has a lot to say. Danny, were you able to see those videos or not? And given my commentary, if you couldn't see them, what is your take?
Good morning, sir. Can you hear me okay today?
Very clearly, Danny. Excellent.
Yeah, you know, I did see those clips slightly on the computer. You know, it's really strange, those clips, to see them after all these years. But obviously, there's no plane in the video. Anybody can see that. And they can see the explosion with no plane. And that can only draw a person to, a conclusion that there was either CGI or some sort of a hologram or some sort of a technology that was used to add the planes after the fact. In my opinion, those videos are very damning to see that without seeing the planes. I would like to call attention to another video that we don't have that's pretty famous, and it was actually released the first time I saw the video I'm talking about on the basketball player or the NBA basketball player's channel, Shaquille O'Neal, famous basketball player. And it was put on his website. And to this day, he does not know how it was put on his website or who he claims somebody hacked in and put it on his website. And that's the first time I saw it. And that's where you can see a plane coming into the tower, the one that we watched on CNN. It's the original footage slowed down. But what happens is as the plane approaches the tower, the wing disappears behind the building, behind the 9/11 tower, behind the Twin Tower. And you can actually see it go behind the wing and disappear and then come back again. And that's obviously, that particular clip is some sort of a CGI glitch, because you can watch the wing disappear and then come back, which is impossible. And it's been there. That footage has been right in front of our face all these years. But since it goes by so fast, nobody ever noticed it. And that's one of the reasons they say they quit playing that clip on television, because somebody discovered in slow motion the wing disappearing behind the building that was much farther behind the 9/11 towers. Yeah. So to me, it's either some sort of a CGI clip, a hologram. I don't know the technology, but it's obvious, sir, that was there some kind of explosives planted in the building.
Yes, yes, yes. I agree with most of that. Yes, there is a video where the wing seemingly disappears, which again I suggest is proof of the use of a holographic projection. I lay all this out in considerable detail in my 9/11 special in memoriam for Robert David Steele, which everyone can find on my BitChute channel, Jim Fetzer. But I've also linked it to my Twitter account, at Jim Fetzer. And by the way, this is just a side. Why Elon Musk would take a well-established brand name like Twitter, which is worldwide famous. You got tweets, you got Twitter. You know, I mean, the whole thing is well-established, and change it to X is just beyond me. Danny, I know this is an aside. Do you have any thoughts about why Elon Musk would do that? He's a very savvy business guy, but this didn't make any sense to me. Your thoughts?
I have no idea. You know, I've got into a few discussions with people about that, actually. And what's interesting is he didn't really announce, or I never seen an announcement ahead of time that he was going to do that. You know, normally when something like that happens, you might see some sort of advertisement. You might see some interviews, something leading up to something like that. And all of a sudden, one day I looked down and I saw the name was changed to X. And the application actually changed on my device from Twitter to X on its own. And I thought that to be very strange. And I don't hear him much talking about it either. So I'm not really sure why he came up with that name or why he would switch over without announcing it to the public. I find it to be very strange.
Now, Danny, you sent me 3 or 4 videos about Maui, which are significant. I won't play all of them, but I will play parts of each of them. The first Maui update, the world has to apologize for the Maui part. $24 billion more for Ukraine, $6 billion to Iran. but only $700 to the Maui fire victims. It is outrageous, Danny.
If you're currently paying for a
subscription. Let's see. When we go to some videos, we have to skip the ads.
Thousands of children remain missing in Maui, and the survivors there, they're fighting to survive each and every day. The U.S. is sending our taxpayer money overseas. The border is under attack, and it feels like all hell is breaking loose. But for the Vice President of the United States, it's celebration time.
This is Kamala dancing, some kind of festive, really. Not
sadly, Kamala's party had to come to an end so that she could briefly compare all of the tragedies the U.S. has encountered.
Not only a place on our calendars, but a place in our collective memory. December 7th, 1941. September 11th, 2001. And January 6th. 2021.
President Joe Biden wasn't even at Kamala's party, but still somehow managed to run out of batteries and announced he's ready for bed.
Anyway, I just think that there are other things on leaders' minds, and they respond to what's needed at the time. And look, nobody likes having celebrated international meetings if you don't know what you want at the meeting, if you don't have a game plan. He may have a game plan. He just hasn't shared it with me. But I tell you what, I don't know about you, but I'm going to go to bed.
Joe Biden.
Biden's going to go to bed. Danny, your thoughts about that first little clip?
You know, sir, that's, as an American, sir, born and raised, that's very embarrassing. To see, you know, supposedly the leader of the free world come on and lose his concentration like that while in front of a group and being filmed, to turn around. He's having like a cognitive moment where he's like losing his train of thought again. And then he turns around and tells the crowd that he's got to go to bed. It's very, I don't know, it's embarrassing. I feel bad for him, but I feel bad for our country that's our leader, and that's what we're seeing. And the first clip you showed was Kamala at some sort of a party she was having where she was dancing and listening to music and whatnot. I thought that to be very strange. And then, you know, giving those very significant dates on the calendar, and a lot of them which we're talking about today. I don't know. It was quite embarrassing to see, sir, without a doubt.
Mitchell's added his thought that Musk is trying to create a super brand X to encompass a multi-level marketing and vertical financial schemes. He's probably got it exactly right. Meanwhile, here's another. What are these blue EPA drums? What are these underground tunnels? Danny, let's see what we got here.
From the Maui massacre, but you and I, we're still on it. 1 month has passed since the fire, and have any of you seen video of a parent or of those who've lost their family? Why is this not all over the news? Are we witnessing the greatest suppression of information ever? Is this not strange? There could be over 1,000 children missing or more, and yet we're not seeing or hearing anything still to this day? Something is not right. Something like hazardous waste being removed by the EPA from Lahaina and being transported to the gun range.
I'm here at the Ukumehame gun range, where the U.S. EPA is starting to bring hazardous waste from the Lahaina burn zone here. It's coming in from trucks and then put into these 55-gallon drums. Now, there are teams of about 80 people from the U.S. EPA wearing white Tyvek suits. It is hot. They're in those respirators. It's very difficult work. This is the first step for cleanup before people can be allowed back into their homes. This process is expected to last several weeks to several months. Then the hazardous waste is shipped to the mainland.
If you suffer from tinnitus, scientists discovered an unusual...
Danny, I find that kind of curious. Why would there all be this toxic hazardous waste there if it had been a wildfire. That doesn't make any sense at all. Your thoughts?
You know, sir, they're almost acting, you know, I've never been there on the ground, but they're almost acting like they're dealing with some sort of a poison or radioactive type of material. They're specifically putting them in these sealed blue drums that you can see, and then transporting the material off of the site. The other thing that I find very troubling is so many people, victims that did survive the fire or were able to get out, are not being allowed to come in and go back to their property and sift through anything to try and find any kind of heirlooms or to, you know, some people say they had safes in their home or floor safes, and they want to simply get in and get their documents or see what's left in the safe, and nobody's being allowed in. And yet we see this material being hauled off of the site in these strange blue drums, and there's nobody that wants to explain what's going on or why this has taken place and why is this being done in secrecy from the victims that actually live there. It's very, very confusing, sir, with no explanation on why they're doing it. There's a lot of strange things going on in Maui, and yet this is just one more of those strange, unexplained things.
Here's another you sent. Tyranny on tap in the new Maui. What is an emergency proclamation? Let's check this one out. A brief intro.
I just want to know what... Can you say what law? What regulation?
So you're
not going to tell...
Leave now or you will be arrested underneath this proclamation.
Okay, so it's a proclamation.
It's an emergency proclamation.
Okay, thank you. Emergency proclamation. Oh, can I get your name and badge number, please? Name and badge number? Name and badge number? Name and badge number? Okay. No name and badge number. Can I get your name and badge number? Nope. Okay.
She's not happy.
Just trying to find out what law says I can't stop and take pictures or stop and go on the highway. I'm just asking what law it is. That's all I want to know. That's all I was asking her, and she's like freaking out on me. I just want to know what law says we can't stop here.
Are you with the company or?
No, I'm just a citizen. I live in Kanapali, and I just want to know what law says we can't do it. We have a right, we have a constitution that says we have the right to press. We have a right to be on this. This is a public road. But I'm just trying to find out what law we are following here. That's all I'm just asking that question. What law says we can't? What law do we tell people they can't stop here? Just all I'm asking. What law? I'm not trying to create any problems. I'm just asking a real simple question.
Here they're not allowing an ordinary citizen to stop and take photographs.
Don't get to tell me what law I'm breaking? Just asking what law it says I can't stop here and take pictures of Lahaina. We're on the very edge of Lahaina. We're not even anywhere over the town. It's on the very south end.
They got a lot to cover up, Danny. Wouldn't you agree? They just don't want any more evidence accumulate. I'm sorry, but the genie's out of the bottle. The toothpaste is out of the tube. We've already got more than enough to prove it was done with directed energy weapons. Your thoughts, Danny?
Well, my thoughts on this emergency proclamation, I sent that to you because I've never actually heard that technical term. And then the police are acting very secretive in that area. And they keep citing, there was an emergency proclamation, but they were being very secretive about it. They wouldn't tell anybody where they got it or where did this come from or what under what authority this was issued. And evidently what it looks like is something that the governor wrote up, and he just claimed it. It's not under any kind of authority. It's not a law. that was passed by the legislature. It's just something that he claimed, and he wrote all these rules in there and then signed it. And he's just calling it an emergency proclamation. And when you read it, it just says that they can't do anything in this area. They can't take photographs. They can't stop their cars. They can't ask questions. I mean, it's really, really draconian when you read it. And I'm sure it's going to be challenged in court. But it's very, very strange that they would go to this kind of length and depth to cover up everything that's going in inside of Maui. Nobody can see anything. It's very interesting what's going on there. And they're all putting it under this emergency proclamation that you can't do any of these things. And Eric West is a realtor there. That's the gentleman on the video. And I would encourage everybody to go online and look him up and look at his videos, because he's been on the ground from the beginning with drone footage. He managed to get in there with a dirt bike and rode around property to property, took his drone property to property, and basically viewed the whole thing afterward. And we can really see the damage and what homes survived, what homes didn't survive. He sort of made a catalog, if you will, of everything in the area. And now they're kicking him out, and they even harassed him when he stopped and asked one of the police, "May I ask why we can't take photos?" They wrote him a citation for parking in the area, and on the citation it says the emergency proclamation, and he got a ticket just for simply asking why he's not allowed to stop and take any photographs. So they're really acting strange there, sir, in that area.
Yeah, if you want to know what tyranny looked like, we're witnessing it right there in Maui. We have more reports from Eric West. Here's another, a Maui fire update.
What if there was an automated software that could make passive income for you?
This, of course, is one of those ads. Here he is.
Hey, law guys. Eric West here, HawaiiRealEstate.org. Welcome back to the channel. If you are new, which I doubt you are, you've probably been tuning in for the last 30 days, but I have been doing my best job to do whatever I could do to help this community and my family in the last 30 days. So I think today is the 31-month anniversary of this tragedy that's occurred here on Maui, and it feels like the craziest 30 days of my entire life. But again, this is absolutely not about me in any way, shape, or form. This is about what's happening here on Maui. I'm one of those individuals that something has happened to, and if you've been following the story, you know what it's all about. But I just want to give you a really quick update, and I don't want to, you know, I can kind of talk too long sometimes, so I want to make this as concise as I can. And I do have to start out talking a little bit about what's happened to our family, and I believe the tide is turning. So I'm going to put a link in the description of this. It's a video that was just sent to me from a gal. I don't really know who she is, but I think she's on one of the other islands, and it's a TikTok video. And she's basically coming out and apologizing to our family for, I guess, some things that went viral and really have affected our ability to feel, you know, just normal and good about what we were doing because of these threats and these horrible things that were coming at us. So I believe we're turning the tide on this, but for all you digital warriors out there, I'd love you to click that link and watch it. It's a TikTok video. Maybe you can help me get it out on Instagram and all these other platforms. But we're definitely fighting an information battle here in so many different things. And I want to talk about some of those things today, because I believe there's certain messages that need to be heard by people around the state. And for whatever reason, my platform has been an opportunity to do that, and a very heavy responsibility. And I know I haven't always done it right. And I'm doing the best that I can. So most of what I'm going to say right now is, moving forward, what are the best things that we can do to bring the situation to its best end result? And I believe it needs to go as follows. My message to everybody in Hawaii, everyone that's out there listening to this or thinking about helping or doing anything, I think the most important thing that we can do is use our cameras to show how aloha we are and how peaceful a people that we are, because I just have this sense that there's a plan to sort of incite violence amongst the people in Hawaii and to create division. And it is, that's the absolute worst thing that could happen. So,
well, he's got more to say. Here's another. Maui churches give money away to victims. Well, check this out, Danny, and then...
Coming to you from Maui, Hawaii. I'm here today with these wonderful gentlemen, and we're in the process of distributing the funds that you so graciously and generously gave to Lahaina Fire Fund. Our commitment was to distribute it directly to the people, and the way that we're doing this is through vetted churches that are existing 501c3s, and today we're going to meet a couple of these gentlemen that actually were boots on the ground from the very beginning, delivering supplies to the west side of Maui, and also they've already distributed, I won't steal their thunder, but they have distributed a lot of money already directly to families. So next to me I have Pastor Eddie, and I've got Pastor Lance, and they are from Grace Bible Church,
Maui.
Yes. And then, of course, you remember Pastor Herman with Faith Family, and he was the first donation that we gave, and he'll give maybe a little bit of update. But if you want to just tell a little bit about your story and...
Well, it's, of course, wonderful to hear about the support they're receiving financially. But, Danny, look, if this had been a bona fide wildfire, if this had been a real natural disaster, there'd be no need for any cover-up. They wouldn't have an emergency proclamation precluding taking photographs and videos. I find this really revealing and confirming that this was all deliberately contrived as a catastrophe to promote a land grab. They want to create a 15-minute city in Maui. There's been this historic tension between the state and the community. Well, this was sacred land. It used to be the capital of Hawaii. And they have a treaty that says that the state cannot intervene absent a natural disaster. So they contrived an event they would claim to be a natural disaster, and they don't want anyone to be able to prove that it was anything but. Your thoughts?
Well, I would agree with that, sir. I read some of that, and it's very strange how the governor had signed that document before the fire, and then after the fire, he came out publicly and said that he was going to grab the land and make it some sort of a memorial and turn it over to the state. And that really upset a lot of people when he blurted that out, because people want to rebuild. They want to live there. They've been there for generations. Some of them have handed the homes down to family members that have been there for a long time. And then they, to further make it worse, they're not offering any really relief to any of the fire victims. You know, there's still a lot of people missing from this. There's a lot of children missing. There's adults missing. Nobody wants to talk about the people that have disappeared or died. They're not giving a complete list or the names of the people that died or are missing. There's a lot of strange things that are still going on in the area and a lot of secrecy. And nobody can understand, why is there so much secrecy after a fire? Why would you go out of your way to cover this up? And it sure does look like they're using this fire as an excuse to remove people. You also have the insurance companies for some of the victims that are refusing to pay for any damages. And then you got Joe Biden offering $700 one time to all the fire victims, but yet he's giving billions of dollars away to Ukraine, and another $6 billion was just announced the other day for Iran. I mean, he's given away billions of dollars, and you know, some of that money would completely rebuild the town. A fraction of that would rebuild the town and help those victims. I'd like to point out, they're United States citizens there in Hawaii. And what is going on that they're being treated like this and they're not being offered any help? The whole thing makes no sense, sir. The whole world is talking about this. And Eric West, the realtor who happens to be in that area, has real estate listings in that Lahaina area. He had a few listings that got burned in the fire. So he has a wealth of knowledge of the people in that area and the properties in that area, which is why he's been taking so much video of the area, with the drone footage and the motorcycle footage. He's pointing this out, and the more he uncovers, the more they seem to be clamping down on him. He actually raised over $800,000 on his own, just putting out his own videos. And then he started getting people attacking him for raising this money when nobody else was doing it. So what he did as a result of the attack is he started making videos showing him giving away the money, and he decided to give it away from to the churches who were getting the money straight from the people. So far, through his efforts, the people have actually received more relief and much more help from the private donations of him and his YouTube channel than they've received from the government. And they seem to be harassing him for doing so. You would think they would prop him up as a hero of what he's been doing, but instead they're demonizing him and they're harassing him for exposing and showing on what's going on in Hawaii, sir. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense at all.
If you wanted more reasons to despise Joe Biden and the Democrats, his administration, here it is. This is grotesque. Another story you've sent, Michael Jaco reporting, children from Maui have been rescued by special forces. I presume, Danny, this means some of the children. I mean, I think there are as many as 2,000 who are missing. Here we get the report.
People are looking for fighters. Donald Trump's a fighter. I'm a fighter. There's a lot.
That's Carrie Lake, by the way.
We have surrendered.
Oh, this is a.
And that's why
an ad. She's wonderful.
Hello and welcome. Today we've got Michael Jaco, former CIA and Navy SEAL. And today we are going to be discussing that some children of Maui have been rescued by special forces. The 2020 election, what's happening with that? Is it going to be restored? Is it not? And the latest updates. Now, just before we begin, you can subscribe to my Instagram, nicholas.beniamin, where you can follow my news reels, my daily updates. Michael, thank you for joining me. How are you, and what have you been up to?
Thanks for having me back, Nicholas. I was just in Dallas. There was basically a little conference that happened there with Dr. Artis and several other doctors that were talking about vaccine injuries and how you can overcome that, different supplements, and just how bad it was, how bad it is, how bad it's getting, the increased problems with that that are going to continue. But there are alternatives and there are cures and so forth for it.
Absolutely. Very sad time for the deep state, who are being monetized by Mr. Trump with a lovely mugshot T-shirt that you're wearing. So, you know, I think the deep state is doing a great job helping fund the Donald Trump campaign. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, that's definitely the case. You know, he's a multi-billionaire. He decided to help humanity. You know, they've been they've tried as much as they can to destroy him. It hasn't happened. He's got some really good backers, military and so forth. So it's interesting. So, you know, I thought that there was no way that Trump would, you know, give up, you know, the election thing. And I talked about it for months before that. It's like, no way, and the military won't be involved in it. And now we're finding out that the military basically advised him to step back. So with the military advising him to step back, obviously, because they backed him and they got him into that position legally, because American people voted for it and they made sure that the vote went through and counted on that very, very important time frame back in November of 2016. So that happened. We had a great president. They continually tried to take him down through false, you know, Russia hoax, took a couple of different impeachment, you know, and they were constantly trying to take him down. And that was coming from the FBI, from the Justice Department, from the CIA. So everyone's trying to take him down. They're throwing everything they can at him. And he had one of the best presidencies probably we've seen in the history of America. And then, you know, it gets to that inflection point where do we do a military, you know, intervention here, or do we step back and let more things be revealed and more people awaken to the issues and the problems? And that's basically what they did. They stepped back. More people have awakened to the situation. And what I feel is we're at a very close inflection point where it's going to be revealed across the board. I think the Supreme Court is going to basically get involved and basically overturn the election because it is definitely fraud. That's going to, it's, I mean, there's been years and years and years of, you know, reveal on that. And so there's going to be a turning point where they're going to say, yeah, this election was fraud. It's null and void. And we're going to do a new election. And the person that was in charge, President Trump, is still in charge, has been in the background, as we know. But I think that at that point, he steps forward. Now, it might not be perfect.
Now, Danny, this was recorded on September 11th, just a couple days ago. I find parts of this concerning. I mean, I've heard aspects of claims about the military being involved, but the idea of stepping back when the 2020 election was stolen and not going full throat to overturn it, that was a colossal blunder. Because look at the massive destruction and damage to the United States in the roughly not yet 3 years that Biden's been in office. This has been a calamity. Now, here, of course, he's not talking about Maui. That comes elsewhere. Perhaps you can tell me approximately and I can pick it up there. But I wanted to pause and get your reaction to what he said so far.
Well, you know, Michael Jaco is a former SEAL Team Navy SEAL, and he was part of SEAL Team 6. He's been on a few different teams, and he seems to be privy to, you know, he has contacts within the military, and he seems to be privy, and he breaks a lot of news along the lines of Trump and just what's going on in the world. And he said in this particular clip in the beginning, he talks about how the military is on Trump's side. And he was told to step back while this fraud was taken over. And for whatever reason, he goes into it. They've decided that they wanted this awakening process to go forward to let the world see all this fraud go forward. Myself, I don't agree with it. I wish it would have never happened and we would have saw some sort of a court case right away resolving it, because then maybe we wouldn't be in this calamity that we're in right now. But for some reason, they decided to allow it to go on. And there has been a huge awakening throughout the world and throughout the United States as we all watch all this corruption come forward. You know, we see Biden, we call him Biden, but we all know that does not look like the real Joe Biden. At times, right. He looks like he's wearing a mask. You can see it peel up on his neck. He doesn't look like Joe Biden. You know, he actually switches hands and writes with his left hand now, where he used to write with his right hand. There's all these strange things going on with him, yet they still refer to him, the media refers to him as Joe Biden. And I'm pretty convinced whoever that character is, it's not the real Joe Biden. That's my opinion, based on looking at all the old videos, the handwriting, and also most people don't switch which hand they write with as they get older. And that's very strange for someone to say, oh, that's totally normal. He writes with both hands. That's not true. He's been writing right-handed his whole life, and now he writes with his left hand. So something strange is going on. And Michael Jaco's pointing out that he still thinks that the Supreme Court is going to come in and finally overturn the election. Where he gets that information or how he gets it, he goes on to elaborate more in that particular video. But I find it very interesting. And if that does happen, I say it can't happen soon enough, because yeah. I would like myself off of this crazy ride that we're all viewing. That's for sure.
In my opinion, it would be too little too late. The Supreme Court already tipped its hand when it refused a Texas lawsuit over swing states where they violated their own procedures. It was cut and dry. The Supreme Court should have taken it then and ruled then. It was timely. But it appears to me that Chief Justice sidetracked, set it down, claiming Texas lacked standing, which is absurd. This is a conflict between states. It's a perfect case for the Supreme Court. Now we have James Clapper revealing The Dirty Trick Squad, led by Rod Rosenstein of the DOJ, where Mitt Romney, Paul Ryan, and it's disgusting to add, the Chief Justice himself appear to have been a part. So I think he, too, may have been instrumental in declining my petition to the Supreme Court, even though State of the Nation declared it to be perhaps the single most important case to be brought before the Supreme Court in our lifetime, because it was related to our right to a trial by jury and equal justice under the law across the different states, where my case would have been thrown out or sent to a jury in Texas, and yet it was accommodated by Wisconsin, which basically set all of my evidence aside on the ground that it was unreasonable, which is permitted in the Wisconsin court system for summary judgment. But even a summary judgment in general is only supposed to be applicable when there's no dispute over the facts. And here you had the plaintiff, who is, in my opinion, the fake father of one of the decedents, claiming that 20 kids and 6 adults had died at Sandy Hook, including his son. For the death certificate said the individual had died of multiple gunshot wounds at Sandy Hook Elementary School. And then my position, no, it was all a fraud. This was a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control, where I even had a FEMA manual and the FBI Consolidated Crime Report for 2012 showing at the intersection of Newtown, of which Sandy Hook is a part, and for murder and non-negligent manslaughter, the number 0. If, in fact, it had been legit, that number should have been minimally 26. Some would say he took his own life, 27. That's called a murder of a person by themselves. In any case, it was more than enough evidence, including proof I had that the iconic photograph that appeared to be kids being evacuated from the school was, in fact, staged, that there was a second photograph taken minutes earlier. We could see a whole bunch of parents there with their hands in the pockets, casually looking on, while they rearranged the kids to get a better shot. So he brings a little girl in a short skirt with a taller little boy in blue jeans and a sweatshirt. It was a better photograph. But if this were an emergency, he was going to stop and rearrange the kids to get a better shot. And if parents were there and it were emergency, they would have grabbed their kids and got the hell out of Dodge. Shannon Hicks, who is a photojournalist for the Newtown Bee, has acknowledged taking both all by itself. Those two photographs juxtaposed proof this thing was a monster fraud. So I'm completely disillusioned with the Supreme Court. I don't think Michael Janko has it right. And if he was on SEAL Team 6, isn't that, Danny, the group that's supposed to have conducted the raid in the compound in Pakistan to have killed Osama bin Laden, who actually had died a year before? If he was part of SEAL Team 6 and that was their mission, I am further disenchanted with Michael Janko. I mean, CIA, it says CIA Michael Janko, CIA today, CIA tomorrow, once CIA, always CIA. I would not find this man trustworthy, even though most of what he has to say may well be true. I mean, the classic formula, Danny, for a disinformation operation is 80% truth and 20% falsehood. You use the 80% to build up your credibility, and then you deliver your payload, your thoughts.
Well, sir, I want to comment on that. Okay, he was on SEAL Team 6 just before that bin Laden thing. As far as that guy calling him CIA, I think that's kind of a misnomer, and I'll say why it is. He was a SEAL team member, and then like so many SEAL team members, when they get out of the Navy SEALs, they end up working for the government as what's called a contractor, where they get paid quite a bit of money to do private types of security through the CIA. So he wasn't a CIA agent or an operative. He just used his Navy SEAL abilities to do private security. For instance, a lot of the guys that were involved with Benghazi in that Benghazi shootout, a lot of those guys were Army Rangers and Navy SEALs as well, and they were working for the CIA as a contractor, protecting and doing that protection duty. And that was kind of like they were being paid private. So Michael Jaco did quite a bit of that private contracting before he kind of discovered some of the shady things they were doing. And he talks about that in depth. And then once he started to discover some of the things he was being asked to do, that's when he left. He didn't do it for a very long period of time. But he didn't work for the CIA as a CIA agent. He was a contractor, you know, using his security services as a SEAL. So
Danny,
that's kind of
Danny.
Kind of,
this is a 29-minute clip. Do you know whereabouts he talks about Maui? I'm going to guess it's toward the end. Would that be correct?
Well, it's further down, but I can just kind of elaborate if we don't have time to play the whole clip. He basically says that a team of military people came in and rescued children that were being held. Some of the children from the Maui that were being held at a particular location. And it's very interesting that's go on. He's not the only one that has said this. There's another military guy that went out on Twitter, and he was a witness there, and he saw these boats rush up to the dock when FEMA was sifting through the rubble, and they had they were dressed in like military clothes. They had military style weapons on their boat, and they rushed into the area and did some rescuing. So there's, you know, it's very strange to hear him say this. He was there. He talks about it. There's more than one report like this. So basically what he's saying is that this some sort of a special forces team came in and rescued children that were being held. And he doesn't go into great depth on who these children were. Were they interviewed? What happened? Why they were being held there? He doesn't go into that, but he does go into all the strange things that have been going on in Maui that we have talked about that we have been talking about, sir. So it's a very interesting report when he goes into it. I wish we had time to play it. I would highly encourage everybody to listen to it.
Well, I can try to find that little part where they do it. Let me see.
Being taken down by the good guy. Militaries around the world, and they're working together. We've heard some of these reports, so forth. So this is an ongoing operation. I think it's going to continue for years into the future, but I think we're coming to a big inflection point where more people of the world get to see that this is an operation. This is what's happening. So the Maui operation, I believe, is going to be one of those, maybe in the near future, that's revealed. So, you know, you can't reveal, like, I kind of figured it out very, very quickly, you know, from my remote viewing and from my ability to look at different things and read the things. I came out right away within hours after the Maui attack and did a big video on directed energy weapons, which had massive views all around the world. So I was on top of this very quickly, but I can't reveal everything until I know what is going on as far as the mission. I don't want to reveal that our guys are taking this because I felt very strong that was happening. And I heard from people that were saying they heard booms and so forth, you know, boom, 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 boom. And I'm like, that's gunfire that's going on, they're hearing, not booms, right? So, and then I heard from other people, you know, about the Maui child trafficking. And I was like, this is the trap. And then I saw underground facilities. I already know about that, but there was underground facilities under Lahaina. So that was exposed. That was taken down. Those children, unfortunately, some children and their parents did die in the fires. But many of them, with the storm, the sounds of the storm, you know, blocking some of the movement, I believe that some of the children were herded on. I thought they were herded on in vans, but I'm hearing now that there were several buses that were utilized. So I think up to 12 or 13 different buses were utilized. And I know that a lot of these places, like Lahaina and some other places around the world, all around the world, almost every neighborhood has probably underground base under it, our underground tunnel system. So they were going to take a lot of these children. We're in the process of taking a lot of these children underground while they were destroying evidence of their activities on the surface. So it was a multi-pronged type of event. So not only destroying evidence, which they've been doing, I think that some of the people that we see that are disappearing from the scene are then taking out some of the people they know that would reveal. So we have that process going on. So they're basically killing themselves off. You know, and they're destroying a lot of evidence, and they're destroying a lot of the, on their own now, they're destroying some of the, above ground and underground facilities that they had that they know would implicate them on a massive level. So some of them are going to try and survive. Some of them are going to try and survive and go somewhere else and last and then come back like they have in the past and restart the situation again. But that's not going to work for them this time. Human consciousness is raising to the point where just the vibrational frequencies alone aren't going to support their activities, and they'll be found out very quickly. Mm-hmm. But that's an ongoing process. So anyway, while the fires were going on and the directed energy weapons were setting more fires to give cover for some of their bad teams, bad military types to come in and basically take children that were left alone, because they, you know, through the cell phones that we have and through the computer system, they know everything about us, right? They can chart, they know where everyone's at. So they knew that children were home alone, they knew where they were, and they sent in teams basically in a rescue type of mission. Okay, kids, get on the bus, we're going to go, and we're rescuing you. Your parents, maybe their parents were already taken, maybe their parents were eliminated, and so forth. And so they're put on buses and so forth and taken to collection points where there's elevators to go down into the underground facilities. So at this point...
Okay, stand by. We'll be right back with Danny Saras.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs, but there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
If you think for 1 second that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourself. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years.
to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. That time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet, not giving up. Revolution Radio.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, Danny, in addition to videos related to Maui, you sent me quite a few about the commission of crimes. And I know there are a lot of points you want to make here. Let's begin with the first. Body cam showing Ohio police fatally shooting a pregnant black woman. This is pretty disturbing stuff, Danny. I got the video here. You want to offer commentary while it runs?
Sure, I can, or you can go ahead and play a clip of it, sir, at the end. But this is a very interesting video that I've broken down along with all the crime segments that I sent you.
Here it is. I'm playing it, Danny. I'm playing it. They're telling her to get out of the car. She doesn't want to get out of the car.
Right. What's going on is there's a black woman sitting in a car. The police approach her, and she doesn't want to get out of the car. She keeps saying, why? I don't have to. I don't have to listen to you. Why are you bothering me? She's going into like a negotiation with the police. And I can't hear the video, sir. I don't know if you're playing it, at least on my end. I can't hear it.
Here it comes again, Danny. Here it comes. It's not very long.
Out of the car. Out of the car. They said you're so tough, you're not leaving. Get out of the car. Then get out. Out of the car.
American Service 1828.
Get out of the car.
Then
get out.
No.
Get out.
Yeah.
Car.
Yep.
Get out of the car.
Get out of the car. Get out of the car. Deadly shot fired and the car drifts into the building. Danny, tell us about what the hell is going on here.
Well, you know, as this was advertised, sir, the media put it out one way, and then the video came out, and it was a totally different way. And that's the point of this particular video. When they first put this video out of this story, they showed a black woman that was dressed, nice. She looked nice, and they kind of made her, you know, they took a candid shot of her from, I don't know where they got it, maybe her Facebook or something. And they just said that the police just shot this pregnant black girl for no reason. And that was the narrative that the media had put out in the beginning. Okay, that's the point. But when you watch the video, sir, what happened was that this pregnant black girl had just robbed the liquor store. And what happened is the police happened to be into that parking lot for another incident on a call. So they happened to be in that parking lot. And when the lady came out of the liquor store with the stolen liquor, what had happened was that one of the employees yelled at the police that happened to be in the parking lot and said, "Stop her. She just stole from us. She just took that alcohol." And that's why the police walked over to her car and wanted her to get out of the car. So they're demanding that she stop the car, roll the window down. She rolled the window up and she wouldn't get out of the car. And she's ongoing negotiating with them on why is she being stopped? Why does she have to get out of the car? You know, all these things. It's ridiculous. She's being stopped by the police and she keeps yelling out, "I didn't do anything. You can't stop me," all these expletives. She starts running out. And what ends up happening, sir, is the officer, you can hear him several times telling her right at her window to get out of the car as he's trying to pry the window. He tells her she's under arrest. She's got to get out of the car. She's ignoring all the police commands. And there's also a policeman standing in front of her bumper facing her windshield, directing her, "Get out of the car now. We're not going to tell you again." Okay. And then what the lady does then, sir, is she starts the car, puts it in drive and tries to run over the officer that's in front of her. And the bumper actually smacks him. And that's when the shot gets fired through the windshield. They hit her. Okay. And then she drives the car into the wall there, into the grocery center.
She's not driving it. She's no longer in control. The car.
Right. Right. But that's when they decide to shoot. So they didn't just shoot her innocently for no reason. The officer did not shoot at her until she tried to run him over with the vehicle. So, and what I say,
Danny, your point is that the way the story is being presented is going to exacerbate racial tensions when, in fact, the police had a perfectly legitimate reason for acting as they did, and that she brought about this calamity upon herself by her dereliction of duty and failing to follow their orders.
Well, that's it, sir. And then furthermore, what brought on the shot was if you try to run a police officer over with your car, specifically when they're stopping you for a crime, and you turn your car into a weapon and try to injure one of the officers by running them over, you can expect that you're going to get shot at. But yet the media left all those important parts out, and they just focused on the story and left all the reasons out. So that was a good summary, sir, followed up by she was fleeing from police and tried to injure the officer by turning her car into a weapon and trying to run him over with the car. And that's when he fired the shot through the window and hit her.
And your key point is none of that context is presented in these video reports. It just that accent police fatally shooting a pregnant black woman, presumably the public is supposed to infer because she's black, not because she just robbed a liquor store and sought to run over a cop. Danny, I think you made an excellent point. Now we have another video of four thieves ransacking a Highland Park smoke shop, all caught on video. Let's take a look at this one, Danny. Video, four thieves ransack Highland Park smoke shop, a smoke shop in Highland Park is the latest local business to fall victim. And here we have the video. You can see them. We got a promo on top of the video, and unfortunately, start talking about what we're going to see in 20 seconds, Danny.
Well, you can see, sir, the thieves breaking into the smoke shop and stealing all the merchandise in the shop. It was all caught on surveillance video. And you can see it all happening. You can see their face. They're wearing masks. You can still see their eyes. You can see who they are. And basically what they're doing is they're breaking all the glass. They're ransacking a shop in what you would call like a flash mob crime.
Okay,
and
it's
playing
now.
They're raiding the store.
We got a video now inside the store. This is not very long, so I'll just let... Here they come in. Stuffing his pockets.
Hey, back here. Yeah, we're good.
These guys appear to be white, Danny. Am I right?
Well, I can't really tell because they're wearing a mask, sir. They actually, in the photographs I sent you, a few of them appear to be black. They do have a mask on and like a hoodie kind of material, but you can see their eyes and the top part of their face in the photographs.
My guess is they wore the mask because they knew they were likely to be caught on video, right? What should we derive from this one, Danny?
Well, this is setting up a series that I sent you of flash mob crimes that are caught on video, where they're going in with multiple people, destroying an establishment, you know, by breaking merchandise and then running out with the material. And it was all caught on video.
Yes. Well, here's one. The Daily Mail reported we got a flash mob casually lifting $5,000 worth of hardware from a Home Depot in California as a couple seen ransacking a Nordstrom in a separate raid in the lawless state of California. I think it is the case that Gavin Newsom has done tremendous damage to California. And the idea of having him be the candidate for the Democrats is just appalling. Here's a photograph of them in the Home Depot. Look for the video. Here it is. Here it is, Danny. Here is the video.
If you look at the video, sir, on there again, it's a flash mob.
We got another commercial. It's unbelievable how they have just put in the ads everywhere now. Everywhere. Okay, here we go. Here it is. They're in the Home Depot. They're doing a whole lot of thievery. They're stealing stuff right and left. And we got a employee who's photographing them. Danny, it's just appalling. Let's see, you want to talk about that one right now?
Well, it's very disturbing, sir, because again, it goes along with the last one of a series of flash mob crimes that I sent you. And it's a group of people, and again, this particular time, they appear to be black by looking at their hands and their face. Again, they have like a, I don't know, call it a COVID mask or whatever they're calling it these days on. And there's a whole large group of them that go into Home Depot, and they go into the tool corral area where the expensive tools are kept. And they just start grabbing the expensive tools in the armfuls. They're shoving them in bags. You know, they're just grabbing and ripping things off the shelf, just to describe it. And there's employees there that are horrified. And I guess the employees are told not to do anything or interfere when this sort of thing happens. And you can see this large group of people being videotaped, and they're stealing this merchandise. And of course, they walk out of the store without paying, and they make this huge scene. And that's basically what the video depicts, is they're calling it flash mob crime at this point, where this large group comes in and they steal, you know, up to, they said they stole in those few seconds, they stole $5,000 worth of tools. So obviously they pre-planned this. They knew what expensive tools to grab, probably cased it out ahead of time to know exactly what the most expensive tools were to take. But obviously they were organized as quickly as they went in, grabbed these particular tools, bagged them up, and then hauled out of the store. And again, there was no police investigation, nothing going on. and Home Depot is just constantly getting hit with these flash mob crimes from these groups that are going in and stealing these expensive tools.
Danny, here we get from KTLA. WeHo deputies arrest man accused in Hollywood attack with an axe or a machete. This doesn't have a video. Let me just read the short article. The L.A. County Sheriff Department Wednesday arrested a man they said attacked another with a bladed weapon in Hollywood almost 2 weeks ago. Eric Von Horn, 43, used, quote, a sharp object described as an axe or machete to attack another person at Highland Avenue and Romaine Street at about 1 p.m. on August 19th. The LASD, West Hollywood Station, and the LAPD shared information that allowed deputies to find and arrest him. He was booked. He's due to appear at the airport branch of the county superior court on Friday. Your thoughts about this case?
Yeah, the one of the reasons I listed this case, sir, is what I'm noticing, and I want to set this up, is there is a rash of violent knife crimes where a knife or a sword or a machete is being used to injure or kill people and or threaten people in a public place. And these crimes, you know, while they do happen in the United States, but in the last month or two, they've been ratcheted up to an unbelievable level to where the media is not covering it, but there are several sources online that are covering these crimes quite closely. And they're happening all over the United States, multiple of these per day. So much so, sir, that there's not enough time in a radio show to actually cover how many of these crimes are happening. This particular guy, what's very interesting that they're not saying, had an extensive felony criminal record and have done several prison stints. They let him out of jail, and I find it very interesting that he goes into the Hollywood area and starts stabbing people with this axe or this machete, whatever they want to call it. And again, that they ended up arresting him. And it calls into question, sir, these parole boards. Why would you let such a violent felon like this out of jail that has a long criminal record? And they let him out of jail, and right away he starts injuring people. The next few reports we're going to go over, we're going to see a lot more of this. And I'm just noticing a trend, sir, where these violent felons are being put out on the street and they're doing these horrendous knife crimes where people are getting injured or getting killed. And this is just one of them.
Right. Here we got one on a train in Sacramento with a knife attack. I've got it playing, Danny. Let me see. There appears to be no sound to it, but apparently there's a fair amount of violence to be portrayed here. Tell us, you can talk about this already.
Well, what happens is in the video, sir, is there's a man, he appears to be black again. He's on like a commuter train, if you will, in Sacramento. I don't live in the Sacramento area. I'm not familiar with this train, but it's some sort of a commuter type of rail type of train, like one of those light rail or electric rail trains. And he gets onto the train with a bunch of other commuters like normal. And as soon as the train loads up, he pulls out this large knife, and there's camera surveillance footage on the train. So you can see him pull out the knife, and he starts waving it at everybody. And he's pointing it to everybody, threatening everybody with this knife. So, of course, everybody starts getting off the train as fast as they can while this guy goes berserk, waving this knife around at everybody, threatening to stab everybody. Now, I don't see him actually stab anybody. I see him get close by waving the knife in people's face. And of course, the train car clears very quickly. And then along comes Sacramento police to deal with this guy. And there's a few officers that show up and they try their best to talk to this guy. And of course, he doesn't make any sense. He starts babbling on. He says he's not going back to jail. There's all kinds of things that he starts to blurt out. And then what happens is he starts blurting out, I can't go back, I can't do this. It's very hard to understand. They're trying to negotiate with him, and then he won't put the knife down. Okay, well, anybody knows that if you threaten people in a public place with a knife, that's going to call the police to the situation. when the police do show up and they point weapons at you, okay, you know that if you don't put your weapon down, your gun, your knife, whatever you're using, this particular case, this guy's using a knife, he's still holding it while the police are pointing their weapons at him, doing their best to try and get him to put the knife down. They're explaining to him they would like to get him some help. What is the problem today? Why are you doing this? That sort of thing. And he just won't put the knife down. He refuses to put the knife down. He finally gets up and starts walking towards the police with his knife in his hand. And of course, they end up shooting him several times. And after he goes down, instead of staying down and releasing the knife, he sort of recovers from being shot. He gets up and runs at the police a second time. It's crazy. He runs at the police again, yelling and screaming at them. And then you can see one of the officers pulls out his gun and shoots him a bunch more times. Unfortunately, that guy did not make it, and he was shot. But this is just an incident, sir, of another guy that was let out of prison with a extensive criminal record that's going into a public place with a knife or an edged weapon, causing a scene like this in public, and it's all documented on video.
So this appears to be a demonstration of how the soft-on-crime DAs, elected many times with financing by George Soros, and I don't doubt rigging the elections, are going away from don't want any bail, want to turn criminals back out on the street, are creating major hazards for Americans. I think that is a really telling point. Here's another. White guy shoots three blacks in a Dollar General store. The black chief says a shooter has an AR-15 and hated black people. Danny, I know there are funny things about this story. I want you to elaborate. I'm coming up on it now. You're skipping the ads. Let's hear what the reporter says.
Following a standoff between a gunman and police at a Dollar General store. CBS's Michael George is tracking developments. Michael.
Scott, good evening. Law enforcement officials say the shooter is a white male in his 20s who is motivated by hate. All three victims in this shooting were black.
The shooting happened at a Dollar General store in the northwest part of the city in the middle of the day. Jacksonville authorities say the suspect killed two males and one female before turning the gun on himself.
Plainly put, this shooting was racially motivated and he hated black people.
The sheriff says the shooter put on a mask and tactical vest in the parking lot.
The weapons that the shooter used today are a Glock and an AR-15 style rifle.
He left behind multiple messages, which authorities say amounted to an ideology of hate.
It's just something that should not and must not continue to happen in our community.
This comes in the midst of a weekend wave of gun violence. Today in Boston, at least seven people were shot during the city's annual Caribbean Carnival. Two suspects have been arrested.
What is going on?
In Oklahoma last night, players and fans rushed for cover when shots were fired at a high school football game.
Oh my goodness.
A 16-year-old boy was killed. No suspects arrested. And in Chicago, two women were shot and wounded in the stands at a White Sox game last night.
And back to that unfolding situation in Jacksonville. The FBI is investigating it as a hate crime, and a federal civil rights investigation is also underway. Scott?
All right, Michael George, thank you.
Danny, tell us about this case.
The reason why I gave this case, sir, is I thought this was going to be one of those things that was going to be on CNN, and we were going to see dragged out over multiple days, like a school shooting. What was going on up to this point is there was a rash of shootings all around the country, particularly in these black neighborhoods. There was the shooting in Chicago. They're all over the place. I would like to point out further, there was another shooting in San Francisco, the same thing, where there was a black man with a knife in San Francisco, and it's all on video where they try to get him to put the knife down. And he's threatening people on the street with his knife, and he wouldn't put it down. He tried to walk away. The police ended up shooting him as well. Then they come out with this story, okay? And I thought it was really interesting because all the other stories were mostly black people, several of them that have been in jail, got out of jail, and were let out on the street. But then we came across this strange story of this Dollar General in Jacksonville, Florida. And the story goes, sir, that a white male who they wouldn't give out his name at first, okay? The first day or so, there was no release on his name. And they just said that he moved from another state. They would not say what state. He moved to this black neighborhood in Jacksonville, Florida. He purchased a AR-15 and Glock pistol, okay, after moving there, and went to the dollar store and shot three black people, okay, and then left a manifesto behind, okay, that they won't let us read.
I got to tell you, this whole story sounds like bullshit to me. You tell me more.
Well, sir, you know, it's interesting how your meter goes off, but the police chief said that we have a manifesto here that he wrote. Those are the words he uses. And he said that he hates black people in the manifesto. Well, you know, can we read the manifesto? No. So we're not going to be able to read the manifesto. Then they show a picture or a photograph I sent you of the suspect. And it appears to be a 20-year-old, kind of a chubby guy. And he just looks like a college student. Okay. But what was really interesting is the guy, they said he had no criminal history whatsoever. So they're trying to tell us that a white guy with no criminal history at all moved from an undisclosed state to this area in Jacksonville, Florida, to a black neighborhood. They didn't say exactly where he moved into, but that he moved into that area. He went out and purchased an AR-15 and a Glock pistol, and then went down to the Dollar General store and shot three people, and then got into a shootout with police, and then police took him out. And that's the story. And that he hated black people, and he wrote it down in a manifesto. It's the most absurd story I've ever heard.
Yeah, it's just ridiculous. Meanwhile, we have man badly stabbed while riding Metro in downtown L.A. identified suspect photo released. Let's see this story, and then you can comment. Well, we got another ad. Just start talking about it, Danny, before I skip over the ad.
Okay, well, on this particular entrance, it's another guy on a Metro train, and he's got a knife again, and he's threatening people on a train. And this particular guy did stab somebody, and they went to the hospital, and he didn't make it. And after the fact, they posted his photo.
Here we go.
Stabbing him several times. Good evening. I'm Micah Ullman.
And I'm Sandra Mitchell. In tonight for Cher Calvin, it happened on the Metro Red Line in downtown L.A. in what police are calling an unprovoked attack.
Okay, we'll be right back with Danny right after this break. Goodbye.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Is it?
join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, we have opened the lines for callers for Danny and me, 540-352-4452, 540-352-4452. Paul is here. Join the conversation, Paul.
So I sort of had a humorous comment. I was going to say, what kind of show is this where you play YouTube videos about crime and then you say, what's going on? I mean, I could do this all day on my phone. Some days I actually do. But I had a question for Danny when he was talking about this case in Sacramento with the black guy waving the knife and the cops come and eventually they ended up shooting him. And you said, Danny, and when you told the story, you said, unfortunately, he didn't make it. It's like, what the heck is up with that unfortunately? I'm not sure I understand that.
Well, what I meant by that is obviously I don't like to see or I don't enjoy seeing loss of life. And the reason why I said unfortunately is because the police actually worked really hard in the video trying to negotiate with this guy, getting him to put down the knife. Okay. And it, like he was mentally ill or you can see his comments in the video about how he didn't want to go back to jail and, just all the babbling that he was doing. And you can see that the police were very stressed out in the video, trying to do their best. They did not want to shoot anybody. Okay. Police don't want to shoot anybody. They would rather him just put down the knife, submit to the handcuffs and then take him to wherever he needs to get some help. But you can see they did their best. And unfortunately, when he charged after him with the knife, they had no choice. There was nothing else they could do. So that's why I meant, unfortunately, he didn't make it.
Paul's making a sarcastic comment from a Darwinian perspective, the elimination of bad genes from the gene pool. So he's not regarding it as unfortunate, but well-deserved. Paul.
Okay, I understand. I don't like to see anybody get shot. Of course, I like the stories of the best.
Yeah.
When the officers take the person into custody and get the person to wherever they need to go. It's very unfortunate when the police have to shoot somebody.
Danny, you have more compassion and empathy than our caller, especially about miscreants. Go ahead, Paul. Tell us more. Paul, are you there?
Maybe we lost him.
Danny, I'm showing, your photographs about Fetterman 1 and Fetterman 2. I mean, this is a completely different guy. I had called out this kind of switch before. Oh, Paul. Yeah, go ahead. Paul.
Perhaps I accidentally muted. No, what I started to say was, I mean, are you going to try to tell me that there's something wrong with me when my natural reaction, when I view these flash mob scenes, okay, when I see these hordes of niggers, and that's what they are, okay, let's call it like it is, right, streaming into these businesses, right, knowing the employees are not going to do anything. This is why it's occurring, right? Knowing that in most cases they're not going to get prosecuted anyway, right, and probably are not going to get caught. You know, if there's groups of like 10 or 15 or even more, 20 or more, are you telling me there's something wrong with somebody like myself that would just want to mow them down?
Paul. Look. And, no, I was just contrasting your attitude. I hadn't the opportunity yet to say, when you get mass looting like this, it may be the only way to control it is to authorize shoot to kill. So I think it may be it's come to that. We got so much looting and robbery. So many businesses are being destroyed, and it's all by these Democrat soft-on-crime policies that are doing this. The Democrats are destroying the nation from the inside out on this ground alone, Paul. Go ahead.
Yeah, but you know how I'm not alone. I hate this use of the word Democrat because that's not the agenda. This agenda is top-down. It's all about destruction. They know exactly what they're doing. They're pushing us in a direction on purpose. It doesn't mean that we don't have to or need to go in that direction, but it's completely contrived.
It is contrived, Democrat, Paul, but stand by. Look, we got a couple other, but I want you to stay on. Brian, join the conversation.
I wanted to comment on why Elon Musk changed the name to X.
Okay.
Are you there?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Anyway, if you look at the Freemason compass with the G stands for Ganoman, which are the like black high priests. And in all their symbolism, the X signifies death. That's why when you see a cartoon and you see the dead guy in the cartoon character, he's got two X's on his eyes. Metaverse means death universe. Okay, so it's an occult thing. They're putting that in there because it makes your subconscious defensive. So that's what's going on. And as far as Michael Jaco, I kind of believe you, Jim, that he might be just false opposition. If you look at the Bolshevik Revolution in 1917-18, Kerensky, who was the president or whatever, and he was actually deep state, there was a lot of the same kind of thing out there to give people hopium. So I just, as soon as I hear anything now or, oh, Trump's coming back and all this, I just tend to think that we're getting hopium. So anyway, that's what I had to say. Well,
Brian, you hang around too. We got a 917 area code caller. Caller, just give us your first name and your state and join the conversation, 917.
Well, Jim, this is Reese from New York City. How are you?
All right, Reese, join.
I think I got a few points to add. I think your other caller, Paul, is going to be in lockstep with me. Paul is, let's just say, is a softer version on these miscreant criminals than I am. Because you see, I see this stuff firsthand. I'm in New York City. I get involved with police actions, and I see the people who were stabbed and shot. There were two stabbed by one of these miscreants that in the morning, just going to work, leaving their building, the black guy comes out from behind a column, mentally deranged, probably should have been in an institution, like many on the streets are, that are pushing people in front of subway trains, slashing people in the face unprovoked for no reason. Well, this one stabbed one woman to death. The other one, I don't know if she made it. Then we had two women that I know personally. One was in Central Park. The other one was down in the Village, was walking down the street. Professional white woman in her 30s, black thug walking the other way, decided to just cold clock her as hard as he could, punch her in the face, breaking her orbital socket. Now, Jim, listen to this, listeners. This was witnessed by 10 people in the streets of the West Village in New York City. The police showed up within minutes. The thug was down the block. They refused to arrest him. despite the clamors coming from the witnesses. Another one in Central Park, two blacks came in the park with their pit bull. A lot of them like to have these pit bulls. Lets them off the chain to go after this woman that's sitting on a blanket on the great lawn of Central Park. The pit bull starts mauling her dog. Fortunately, she wisely carries pepper spray on her. So she pepper sprayed the pit bull to get it to, unclench its jaws. Guess what happened when the police arrived? Does anybody want to take a stab at it before I give you the
answer?
No way.
She was arrested.
She was arrested, and the black guy received only a summons. Now, she was arrested for illegally possessing pepper spray. How do you like this? This guy has got a mongrel that could chew the face off of somebody's child, and he was off the leash. And he damaged that dog. Her dog was very badly damaged. His throat was damaged from the bite. She had to go to court with these two blacks, and all they got was a summons. Now, you want to hear another one?
Yeah.
This was last week, in the middle of last week, in Bedford-Stuyvesant, where I was working down there. These young teens, I'm talking 14 and 15 years old, opened fire on a rival gang that was dealing drugs on their turf. Stole a car, fled from the scene, rammed into about half a dozen cars before the police caused them to go into a tree, and then fled the vehicle into the housing project. And when they got in there, the one guy, the shooter, had gone down a stairwell, so he got away. Well, the other ones were in the apartment. You know what they found in that apartment? Five illegal semi-automatic pistols that were brought up through the drug trafficking networks that these blacks are using from North Carolina, South Carolina, Virginia, you name it, Memphis. And so I'm seeing this on a daily basis. I could tell you many more stories, but I want to say that I agree with the sentiments of Paul, because I've been around people who are the victims. You see, these guys, including this guy in Pennsylvania that they just caught today, using, by the way, did you know the technology they used, Jim, to catch him in the woods?
Tell me.
They used the military technology that is made by that company. Hang on for a second. I'll think of it. I haven't heard it mentioned in a while. Oh, my goodness. I'll think of it in a second. It's a four-letter acronym that the company goes by that developed a technology for heat tracking devices that they're now employing with the military with an L. I'll think of it. Give me a minute. I haven't heard this one mentioned in a number of years. The last time they used it is when they caught those two other black thugs that had shot in the head a young white rookie cop for no other reason than they hated white people. They shot this guy in the cruiser, killed him. They fled up to Pennsylvania, were in the woods, and they actually used this technology employed on a helicopter that it could not only see the heat signature, but it could tell whether it's a person or an animal.
I've been doing this for
IFIR.
What is it? IFIR. Does anybody remember that company?
I don't, but I know the technology. Yeah, the technology is called IFIR, IFIR, and you can see it all day long on South Front Ukraine, where the Russian snipers are using it in the woods at night, and they glow, and so yeah.
Right.
Yeah, they used They used infrared search technology way back when they were looking for Eric Rudolph. They used to just fly over the woods all the time. Remember Eric Rudolph, the abortion clinic bomber and so on and so forth. And he actually did the bombing at the Olympics in Atlanta too. That's actually his book that he wrote, or his writings are quite interesting to read. I'm not sure he's like a totally bad guy. He did some bad things, but he's a very interesting character. But yeah, he knew that they were using this infrared technology, and he basically had built shelters, that he could get in out from underneath the, he'd go underneath his shelter so they couldn't detect him. Anyway, the only thing I would say about what Reese said is I resent being told that I would be a softer version of anybody.
We got it. We got it, Paul.
You know what? No offense taken. No offense taken, but Paul, here's what I say. Let's see if you guys could hear the sound. Listen for the sound right now. Did you hear the toilet flush?
Okay. I thought you were going to be racking something. We thought you were going to be racking a slide.
Okay. No, well, listen, in New York City, you can't do that.
Here's the thing that I would just add, Ruka. We have to be careful about some of these news stories because they're so outrageous. I'm not saying they're all a farce, but some of these stories that we read, and again, if we're not there and we're not privy to the individuals involved, we have to doubt it because they're so outrageous, right? In other words, some guy does this thing and he's not arrested, and this other person, you know, does something to defend themselves or says a word and that person gets like 5 years in jail. You know, we have to be wary of this, what I call outrage porn, which is what they're doing. Now, that doesn't mean that there aren't real things taking place. So I watched a ton of these things over the years. And what really gets me is some of them, they follow all the way through. You know, it'd be like a 14, 15, 18-minute YouTube video complete with, you know, the arrest details and what happens afterwards. And time after time after time, it's like Danny was saying, these people have records you wouldn't believe, and they were only out for like 6 months or 8 months, and they do this other crime spree. And it's like, what the heck's going on? And one I'll mention, and I'll throw it back to everybody else, is this kid was involved in a shootout with the police, right? And then it turns out that 6 months earlier, he was also involved in a, quote, shootout with the police where he was arrested. And, you know, you have to take it at the word because it was one of these, I think it might have been the Police Activity Channel, I'm not sure. But it's like, how on earth is that possible? If you get in a shootout with the police, how could anybody be out in 6 months? Are you kidding me? That's like a serious shit, right? But he got in another shootout. It's just, this is the world that's being they're destroying it in front of our eyes, and they're basically begging us to do something about it.
Let's bring Danny back. Danny, your thoughts about all of the above.
Well, Paul's right. You do have to be weary. I just want to make a point, sir, that a lot of those videos and different events like the train stabbing, the one in L.A., they just caught that guy, by the way. The Los Angeles one you just covered, they finally arrested that guy. And it turns out that he was also a recently released felon. I sent you his photograph that they put out on surveillance video. And he was a recently released felon as well with a very long list of violent crimes. So it begs, why were they letting a guy like this out of prison in the first place to create these public knife crimes where they're injuring? But there was such a rash of crimes, one after the other of these knife crimes. And then they come out with this, what I call false flag, with the AR-15 in Jacksonville. And the point I wanted to bring that I didn't bring up before about that particular one where the police chief said he had a manifesto and he hated black people. Well, what's really interesting is he goes on to say that the police got into a shootout with him and took him out. That is the only instance, sir, out of all the ones that I showed you, where there is no surveillance video, there's no pictures of the suspect, and there is no police body cam. Well, that agency has all body cameras. So during any of those incidences that we saw that are involved with that particular person, we would have saw some sort of video either from the dollar store or from the police when they got into a shootout with them. But that story is completely smoke and mirrors. There's not one photograph. There's no imagery. There's no nothing. And it's kind of like they just pulled that story out to try and use it as a distraction for all the other stories that broke. And it's almost like they wanted to depict a white guy committing a horrendous AR-15 crime. Yet that's the one with no evidence at all, other than a manifesto that he supposedly had written that, of course, they're not going to let us read and they wouldn't release. So I just wanted to make sure everybody could understand that the AR-15 crime with this kid that they released his photo a few days later was completely absurd. And I thought they were going to blow it up like their school shootings, where we were going to see the mantra and all the media dogpiling on. But for some reason, they just kind of did that one blurb and it kind of slid to the wayside. And it didn't turn out to be one of those big TV media type of shootings. But it was very interesting the way they threw that one in there, along with all these other ones that were completely documented by video.
Paul,
right, but Danny, too, but take that and just say, put the, what I call the juxtaposition of the available video of every, I mean, the blacks take videos of each other, right, when they do these crimes. They video themselves committing these crimes in many cases. So, yeah, he's exactly correct.
Oh, and then, by the way, sir, I also sent you a picture of, I wanted to say before we forget or run out of time, I thought it was really interesting, and maybe since we have so many callers today, I would love to hear Paul and some of the other callers comment on the following. I did send you the picture of that Senator Fetterman, the one that got sick, the Democrat that beat out Oz, kind of an interesting looking character that was sick in the hospital from whatever those ailments were. And then all of a sudden he gets better. And then they show us this character they're calling Fetterman 2.0. And I sent you the photos. You can see the side by side. And sir, it's not even close to being him. The ears right. are different. The eyes, you know, if you look at the ears on the real Fetterman, they're like, they stick way out. The new right. Fetterman, his ears are bobbed in. His posture is different. He's a lot more heavier set. His eyes are different. And I right. guess in my comment to that, sir, if you look at those photos, I don't know if you're showing them on the air for the listeners yeah. that might tune in later by video. It's so over the top corrupt now that it's almost like, sir, this is my opinion. They don't care if you see that they're pulling off this hoax or fraud. They're just doing it in your face now, almost like saying that there's nothing we can do about it. And yeah. it, along with the Biden thing, I mean, this might be worse than the Biden thing. And I don't know if your callers had a chance to see the photos of the new 2.0 guy that's been making the rounds. But when you see him speak on video, he's very animated. His voice is different. He speaks with his hands. It's not the same person. It's almost comical. It's like a Saturday Night Live skit. But yet they're putting it out on the public that this is this Fetterman guy. And I'd love to get your opinion on this too, sir, because you're an expert at these photos and depicting features. Could you talk a little bit about this?
They're completely different people. They're completely different. I have in fact been showing the images for the video version virtually since we went to the callers. So yeah, they'll get it in a major dose. I think I'm going to have to put this up on my Twitter. It's just outrageous. And yeah, I think you got it exactly right. It's in your face. Brian, your thought.
Well, I get it because all this 5G, everything they're doing to us, it reinforces this illusion in the subconscious of all the people. And they can push more of this BS on us and they can't see it. You know, where 20 years ago, you'd probably have more of an outrage. But with everything they do to us electronically, reinforcing the egregore, you know, the solipsis that the Jews are dealing in, it just, that's why you get it. So, and then people like us can see it, but your normies can't. They're just too far down in the muck, so to speak. So,
well, Danny's right. They aren't even trying to hide it. Paul, I don't know if you picked up on this Fetterman 2.0, but it's blatant.
I picked up on it. I seen it today, and I said something is wrong with this guy Fetterman. It doesn't look like him.
Yeah. Yeah, Reese, you're 100% yeah. correct. Yeah.
I wanted to wind up Jim Fetzer. Let me wind him up a little bit. Jim, Buffalo mass shooting. Ready? I'm going to let you commentate on this. We got an 18-year-old college engineering student, but he writes a 180-page communist-style manifesto. He's carrying an Azov battalion Nazi emblem on his shirt. He purchases an AR-15 despite previously making threats in the school that he was going to shoot his school up, but he's able to purchase an AR-15 in body armor, right? And then Biden goes to the memorial, and the black woman at the memorial where these people are supposedly being memorialized that was shot up, she goes into this rant, instead of mourning the dead, going into this rant about
Why do we need assault rifles and body armor? What do you think about those apples?
Yeah, of course. I mean, it's just part of the old agenda. Paul, your thoughts.
Well, I mean, it's like what Brian was just saying. I mean, it's easy to make some of these conclusions that we all make. I mean, I don't really think they do care. You look at what's going on in Maui. That's the whole, I mean, I wanted to have a whole like hour discussion with myself and other callers and you and Danny about the whole Maui thing and about this real estate guy and just what's happening to our minds.
Sure. Go ahead. I mean, give us some thoughts, Paul.
Well, I mean, if you remember years and years ago, I referenced this website I used to go to, and I forget what it was, you know, because back in the day, you remember YouTube and the internet was so much more wide open, right? But there was a website that I used to go to, and the tagline on the website was, "Our forefathers would already be shooting." And when you think about what they're doing to us, right, all the time on a regular basis, it's like, I almost feel like this is not going to end well for us. I just think that we're too. I really view us as like the Eloi in the time machine. I really do. I think that's what most people are becoming. And I'm constantly perplexed, sometimes in real life, but a lot of times on the phone and these radio shows, why other people are not as angry as I am. I know it's not healthy to be angry, but it's like, you know, it's normal. I mean, it's natural to be really, really about what's going on.
Even St. Thomas Aquinas said to lack anger in the face of injustice is a vice, that it's improper, it's immoral not to be angry about injustice. So your anger is fully justified, Paul. Danny, I want to thank you for coming on today. You had a whole host of videos and stuff for us to discuss, including about Maui. Would have liked to have had more time with Maui. Brian and Reese, very glad you both joined. Danny, a final thought, but you only have a few seconds.
Well, I just want to say, sir, I'm glad that you got all this information out. Maybe we can talk more about Maui in a future time. But, you know, I'm really disappointed on this veteran thing with these obvious hoaxes and the narrative. Nobody in Congress says anything. Nobody in the media sees anything. Yet we can see in our face what they're doing to us. It's quite the clown show, sir. And I'm glad that you're pointing out everything that's taking place.
Well, it's great to have you back on the air again, Danny. We'll have you back again. Thanks so much, everyone. Take care.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here at Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyalty? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others have taken. As for me, give me liberty! Oh, give me death!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and their